It's been 17 years since President Bill Clinton issued the executive order prohibiting discrimination based on sexual orientation in the federal civilian workforce. Today, gay and lesbian feds say they are still fighting for equality. Members of the Foreign Service who seek assignment in countries where homosexuality is illegal are often denied visas for their spouses. Transgender exclusion prevents some employees from receiving certain health benefits from their federal plans. Salim Araturk is president of GLIFA, the Association for LGBT Employees and Foreign Affairs Agencies, and he joins me now. Salim, good morning.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
All right. So it is Pride Month. What goes on during Pride Month? Let's start there.
Oh, sure. Well, many other LGBT groups in Washington, we are celebrating Pride Month, and we'll be marching in the Capitol Pride Parade on June 13. But we've also got a really great event coming up tomorrow at State Department headquarters. So it's our annual Pride at State event. Secretary Kerry has participated most years, and I think, you know, this year, due to a certain cycling accident, of course, we're very sorry he's not able to join us. But we're going to be joined by Deputy Secretary Heather Higginbottom, who's been a real ally on our issues for many years. And we're also going to have a panel discussion with two international LGBT activists. One is Pepe Julian Onjima from Sexual Minorities Uganda, and the other is Boysan Yakar from Lambda Istanbul in Turkey. And they'll talk to us a little bit about the challenges they are facing on LGBT issues in their countries.
I guess it's fair to say those countries are a lot further behind the United States as far as we may have to go. But relatively speaking, things are better here than in a lot of places in the world.
Well, right. Things have definitely gotten a lot better here over the past years. And I think that when you look at countries, like Uganda or Turkey, you see that they are at a level, that we Americans might remember from decades past. And they're struggling with some of the same challenges we are. We hope that, of course, in the future, the world will be a much safer place for LGBT people everywhere.
And within the federal government, what are the forms of discrimination that you still see occurring?
Tom, the world has become a much safer place for all of us, and the federal workforce has become a much more open and welcoming place for all of us. So when GLIFA was founded in 1992, our members were being fired or losing their security clearances simply because they were gay or lesbian. That's what was putting them under investigation. Of course, now in 2015, the federal workforce is so much more welcoming, and our gay and lesbian members almost universally feel safe coming out in the workplace. But I don't think we're there 100% in the federal workforce. We see that when we look at our transgender colleagues, for example, most of them still choose to remain in the closet about their status because of they're afraid of discrimination. When we look within the GLIFA membership, we see people who are HIV positive who don't feel safe talking about that at the office because they feel that they may face discrimination. So I think that's the next challenge for all of us in the federal workforce, to ask ourselves, what have we done that makes all our gay and lesbian colleagues feel comfortable and safe? And how can we apply that now to other minorities who might not feel as safe?
And do you think that recent events surrounding Caitlyn will help the T part of the LGBT community?
Well, we certainly hope so. You know, the more people who come out, the more people who tell their stories, the more it helps all of us. We've seen that here in GLIFA. My predecessor as GLIFA president was Robin McCutcheon. She was our first transgender GLIFA president. And just by telling her story to everyone in our workforce, I think she really helped people to understand the transgender experience.
And also in the military, there's been a gradual transition to more acceptance of more people from the LGBT side of things, serving openly and in uniform and in combat situations. Do you think that's somehow reflecting back onto everybody else as the acceptance circle grows wider?
Well, I certainly hope it's helping. I think that as you see more in gay and lesbian service members coming out and going back to their hometowns, going back to their communities, they will become more and more accepted in that local community, just like we've seen here in Washington, our community move so far forward on this issue. And I think also when you talk about the military, we've got to recognize the wonderful transgender service members who are still being asked to serve in silence today, who I hope will be, the next wave to enjoy that same freedom.
All right. We're speaking with Salim Araturk. He is president of GLIFA, the Association for LGBT Employees and Foreign Affairs Agencies. And I wanted to ask you about the idea of serving overseas with a gay spouse or a transgender spouse, whatever the case might be. That's a little bit of a tougher situation because those countries could be put off by this or are put off by this in some cases. And could that not work against the diplomatic mission overall?
You know, that's a great question, Tom. And I would say that really in that sense, we are not different from any other minority. You know, the main thing I think is to ensure that American embassies abroad reflect American diversity. That means men serving alongside women. That means Americans of all colors and religions serving as one team because, you know, in so many countries around the world where there is misunderstanding between religious groups, that sends such a powerful message that we have Christian Americans and Jewish Americans and Muslim Americans all working on one team. But part of representing American diversity means that straight Americans and gay Americans and transgender Americans also need to be working as one team. We see that happening every day in offices all across America, and I think that's the picture that we want to show the world.
And at a place like Saudi Arabia, for example, which, you know, nominally is an ally, I mean, people could be in danger because of that, a situation like that. Maybe should it start in France or some place that's, you know, more like the Western values we share versus a place like Turkey or Saudi Arabia, at least at the outset?
You know, the thing is that in any country in the world that you look at, you have LGBT people living in that country. So it's not a new concept, it's not a foreign concept, and it's not an American concept. And I think that when GLIFA members serve overseas, you know, the first question you ask yourself is, how do those local people keep themselves safe, and are there some things that I should keep in mind to keep myself safe? But at the same time, I think we also need to recognize that we are a beacon of hope to all those people out there. So I'll give you an example. We've got an LGBT ambassador right now in Vietnam. So Ted Osius was one of the founders of GLIFA in 1992, one of those brave men who stood forward and said, can you stop firing us just for being who we are? And now he's our top representative in Vietnam. He's our ambassador there. He's serving with his spouse, Clayton Bond, who's also a GLIFA member, and with their two kids. And everywhere they go, I think they give so much hope to local people, and I think they make it so much easier for allies in Vietnam to speak up about their beliefs.
And let me turn to the issue of domestic partner benefits. I guess back in January, the State Department was talking about phasing out domestic partner benefits for unmarried gay employees after the Supreme Court ruling. You were talking about that at the time. What's the status of that, and what do you think needs to happen?
Well, we're still having some conversations about that, and nothing has changed at this time. The domestic partner benefits were brought in 2009 under Secretary Clinton, and we believe that they're still serving a very useful purpose today. Within the LGBT community, there are some people who don't feel safe getting married. You know, a marriage certificate in the District of Columbia is a public document. So, for example, if I were someone with a Russian spouse, that Russian spouse might be afraid of a Russian official discovering that public document. But at the same time, I would say this isn't just an LGBT issue. More and more American companies are giving domestic partner benefits to all their staff. And it's not an elite benefit anymore either. It's come to the point now that Walmart gives domestic partner benefits to its staff, whether they're gay or straight. And I think that when you look at a lot of young Americans joining the Foreign Service today, they don't want to choose between a career that they think could be blossoming or a relationship that could be blossoming. And that applies to gay Americans as well as straight Americans. So we think really the best answer here is to follow the lead of the American private sector and to expand domestic partner benefits to all, whether the employee is gay or straight.
Salim Araturk is president of GLIFA, the Association for LGBT Employees and Foreign Affairs Agencies. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tom, and happy Pride Month to everyone.